Let's turn in our Bibles to the Old Testament. We don't spend much time in the Old Testament, but for this morning, it's a great place to be. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. One of four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And Isaiah will be the first major prophet. We're going to chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. Give you a few seconds to get there. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And I hear pages turning. That's a good thing. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we meditate on this wonderful Old Testament scripture from the prophet Isaiah, Father, we want to learn from this. Father, you have chosen me to be your messenger here at Beach Grove here this morning. Father, I want to proclaim your truth. I want to say what you want me to say. I want you to be glorified. Father, I feel like I am so unworthy of that task. But Father, you're sending me. And for that I am grateful. For that I am humbled. But I want you to increase. I want your name to be glorified, Lord. I hide behind the cross and just ask that your spirit just guide the words that I'm about to say. And I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I had all intentions of delivering a one-week message, a short little one-week message on Biblical Salvation 101, the basics that one needs to know to be saved. And that's what I promised you last week before we left. I said, this is what we're going to talk about. But in the process of preparing that message, I realized that this is going to easily turn into a 3-week or more series. I'm not really surprised. Neither should you. So here we go. Biblical Salvation 101. One day, a group of very brilliant theologians had assembled to discuss the Bible. And this question was asked among them: what is the minimum a person needs to know, believe, and understand about the gospel to be saved? What is the minimum a person needs to know, believe, and understand about the gospel to be saved? Not one person had the answer. I believe the text out of Isaiah that we read here this morning gives us a glimpse of a point where we can at least start to try to answer that question, and a direction in which we need to look. In verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says this. He says that we must see with our eyes, and we must hear with our ears, and we must understand with our hearts to be healed. That's where we want to be. We want to be healed. We want to be saved. We need to see. We need to hear. We need to understand. Then that poses the next question. We need to see what? And we need to hear what? And we need to understand what? Whatever the answers to those three questions are, the prophet Isaiah certainly wanted the Lord to use him to make that happen to the nation of Israel. And I can just hear Isaiah shouting in response right now saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. We need an Isaiah in our life. Biblical Salvation 101 teaches that you do not see, that you do not hear, that you do not understand totally on your own. We need an Isaiah in our life. We need someone who will show us so that we can see. And we need someone to tell us so we can hear. And we need someone who can explain the truth to us so that we can understand. And this morning, I want to show you some scriptures out of the New Testament that will show us that truth of those three questions. I will admit, I don't believe that I know the exact answer to the question, what is the minimum a person needs to know, to believe, or understand to be saved? But my responsibility as your pastor is to show you so that you can see, and to tell you so that you will hear, and to explain the truth to you so that you will understand. To see, to hear, and to understand as much as possible about the good news of salvation as is revealed in God's Word. That's my responsibility. I'll leave the rest into the capable hands of the Holy Spirit. In our bulletin this morning, we have seven fill-in-the-blanks, and let's go to the first one to try to help explain the answers to these three questions. The first fill-in-the-blank would say this: no one verse of Scripture explains the complete gospel message. No one verse of Scripture explains the complete gospel message. We could take a verse as powerful as John 3:16. We all know what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have eternal life. We all know that. If we grew up in a church, probably one of those verses that we memorize. But that verse in itself cannot save you, because it might prompt the person to say this or ask this, that whoever believes in Jesus, well, believes what? What do I need to believe? So that verse in itself does not tell us the full gospel message. It helps. It gets us on the road. But it doesn't tell us everything that we need to know. So let's dig a little bit deeper into this issue. Let's go to the book of Romans, which is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And I'm going to go to chapter 1 of the book of Romans to help fill in the second fill in the blank. I am going to read chapter 1, verses 14 through 17 about the gospel. Paul writes this, I am obligated, starting at verse 14, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Key verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Our second fill in the blank would say this, the power of salvation is in the gospel, is in the gospel. That's what God's word tells us. The power of salvation, of knowing salvation, of having the opportunity for salvation, is found in the gospel. It says this in verse 17, that God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. His righteousness, His plan of salvation. And let me share with you this, folks. You don't get any more righteous than God's plan of salvation for people like you and I. And it's revealed in the gospel. So now we kind of have to back up and almost ask ourselves another question. What is the gospel? I'm glad you asked that question. For the answer to that, you got to come back next week. That's next week's message. I knew I couldn't get this all in one message. So what is the gospel? We'll worry about that next week. So please come back. Let's continue to solidify this truth of knowing that the power of salvation is in the gospel. The same book, Romans, we're going to go to chapter 10, and we're going to go to this verse, verse 17. Romans 10, 17, a verse that I absolutely love, it says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's what verse 17 says. Our third fill in the blank would say this, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith being salvation that we have will come from hearing the message. We got to hear the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. Romans chapter 10 has a whole section about the fact we need to hear what the gospel message says. Going back a few verses in 14 and 15, Paul says this, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? Now let me back up to verse 13, because he ends verse 13 by saying this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Great verse. I preach it quite often. But he goes on to say this, well then how can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe if in the one of whom they have not heard? Third question, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Fourth question, and how can they preach unless someone is sent? These two verses here are talking about Isaiah's in our life. God is saying, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. If you are sitting in here this morning and you are saved, there was an Isaiah in your life. Somebody, somewhere along the line, shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you and with me. Little by little, A little bit of planting, a little bit of watering, a little more planting, a little more watering. Until one day, the light come on. Somebody, probably many, many, many people, were Isaiahs in your life. I want to be an Isaiah. I want to be able to tell the Lord, Lord, send me. Well, he got real serious with that one time and he sent me here. I'll be honest with you, Beech Grove was not even on my radar, folks. Until I said, Lord, what do you want from me? I'm willing. Just send me somewhere. So you're stuck with me, okay? I hope that's okay. But if you're a Christian, he sends us all to be Isaiahs in some way, somewhere, somehow, for some purpose. Could be where you work. It could be your family. It could be on someone's deathbed where you explain the gospel message to them and there is a salvation experience just moments before they go into eternity. I don't know when it is and I don't know where it is. I know what it is for me. But because there was an Isaiah in your life, we need to return the favor. Return the commission and be an Isaiah in somebody else's life. Because somebody needs to hear. Because somebody needs to be sent. Because somebody needs to call on the name of the Lord. And that's how they'll get saved. Let's look at three examples in the New Testament where a messenger, an Isaiah, so to speak, brought the gospel message to other people. We're going to fill in our fourth fill in the blank here in a second. Let me just ask this. Does everybody have a book of Acts in their Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You do have that book in your Bible, I would hope, right? Okay, Acts, it's there. You find it. It's right after John, okay, and before Romans. Okay, the book of Acts. Good. That's important. This is an important book. I found myself asking the question this week, what is the main purpose of this book? And I believe the answer to that is in verse 8 of chapter 1, where Jesus is just about to ascend back into heaven, and he says this in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Here you go, right here. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is the purpose of this book. Our fourth fill in the blank. The book of Acts shows who, where, how, and with whom the gospel message is shared. From chapter 1 all the way through chapter 28, we see example after example after example of people sharing the gospel message with others. It's the Great Commission in action. It's what Jesus just got done telling the disciples back in Matthew 28. Go into all the world and tell the people the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. The book of Acts will teach us this as we read it. It's not our job to save them. It's only our job to tell them. We will read in the book of Acts that there are some people who hear the gospel message and do not respond very favorably. I'm sure you might have found that out in your own life too, that you tried sharing the gospel message or Christ with somebody and they're not really receptive to what you want to say. We're supposed to rejoice in that too. Our only job is this, to tell them to share the gospel message. Let's read about these three examples here in the book of Acts, and let's see what happens in each one of these three examples. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 35, we read of a story of an Ethiopian eunuch. And I am going to read verses 30 through 35, and then we'll fill in our next fill in the blank. Start with verse 30 in chapter 8. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come in and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Key verse number 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Our fill-in-the-blank would say this: Philip had to explain the gospel message to the Ethiopian eunuch. Just because a person reads scripture does not mean they understand the gospel message. Here's a little personal testimony of my own. And Gail and I, when we got married, we were not Christians. That was back in July of 1976. But boy, on our coffee table, we had a nice big Bible right there on the coffee table. It was about this thick, and boy, we liked to have it sitting right there. And occasionally, I would open that book and try to read it. I didn't have a clue what I was reading, because someone had to explain it to me. And praise the Lord that somewhere in April of 1994, a man named Jim at a work Bible study explained the scriptures to me. And then I could understand. Philip had to explain the scriptures to this Ethiopian man so he could understand what the scriptures were saying. He had to be an Isaiah, so to speak, to this man, because the man couldn't understand it on his own. And I could almost guarantee you and I couldn't understand the scriptures on our own either, unless we had someone in our life who sat down and explained, "Here's the truth of the gospel message." And praise the Lord for those people in our lives. That's one example. And that was the Apostle Philip. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, which is in the couple chapters to the right. The whole chapter 10, the whole entirety of chapter 10, is about Peter, the Apostle Peter, meeting this Gentile man named Cornelius. When you got some time, and I would kind of recommend maybe this afternoon sometime, read chapter 10. It's a great story of how God orchestrates salvation experiences. But we do know this, that Cornelius, it says in verse 2, he was a God-fearing man. But Peter is sent to this man, and in verses 42 and 43 of chapter 10, God's word says this, and this is Peter talking to Cornelius. He says this: "He commanded us," he being Jesus, "commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now, I just picked two verses out of there. You can read Peter's whole testimony to Cornelius and his family there in chapter 10. But our fill-in-the-blank would say this, similar to the other fill-in-the-blank. Peter had to explain the gospel message to Cornelius. Just because a person fears God does not mean that they understand the gospel message. This man didn't. Cornelius feared God. You know, I know I've said this before. Statistics say that anywhere between 75 to 85% of Americans believe in God. But I guarantee 75 to 85% of Americans are not Christians. I guarantee that. Because I was one of them people for many, many years. I believed in God, but I had no idea what the gospel message was until someone came and explained it to me. Did I fear God? Yes, I did. I feared God. That didn't mean I had a salvation experience. Until an Isaiah, whose real name was Jim, showed up in my life and explained the gospel message to me. And then we have our third and final example out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have a story about Paul and his friend Silas. They are imprisoned. They were imprisoned because they were sharing the gospel message with people who really didn't want to hear it. But here they are in prison. An earthquake happens. Their chains are opened up. They're free. They're walking out. And the jailer is not a happy man. You see, it's the jailer's responsibility that the prisoners be kept prisoners. But starting in verse 28... I'll start in verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And I'll just stop right there. Just a little bit of history. The jailer probably thought, I'd better kill myself because if these prisoners escape, the people who are in charge of me will kill me because it's my responsibility to make sure they don't escape. But Paul shouted, verse 28, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then, key verse number 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Our fill-in-the-blank would say this. Paul had to explain the gospel message to the jailer. Just because a person is told to believe in Jesus does not mean that they understand the gospel message. This man didn't. Could you imagine if the conversation would have just ended there? Here's a jailer. He's a Gentile. He doesn't know anything about any of the Jewish laws, customs, Messiah, nothing. He knows nothing. He does know this. What must I do to be saved? That's a really good start. But the person comes by and says this, believe in Jesus. And then the person leaves. What if there was not a verse 32 and a verse 33 and a verse 34? Believe in Jesus. Believe what about Jesus? Who is Jesus? I never heard of this guy before. What do I need to know? It's very simple. To understand, to have a salvation experience, Biblical Salvation 101 says this, that I need to see, and I need to hear, and I need to understand the gospel message. We have three examples here, all from the book of Acts. Philip, who goes to have to explain to the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter, who has to go to Cornelius the Gentile. Paul, who has to explain to the jailer. Without the explanations, they would never understand. Without hearing, they would have never known. And without seeing, they would have never believed. Isaiah tells God this: "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Biblical Salvation 101. You were saved because somebody, probably many people, were Isaiahs in your life. And I don't know who they were. They were men and women who planted, who watered the gospel message in your life. Aren't you glad that there was an Isaiah in your life? Wouldn't you like to be an Isaiah too? When I was writing that last line, it made me think of an old TV commercial. I'm going to leave you with this jingle. Good way to remember it. Remember the Dr. Pepper commercial? Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Wouldn't you like to be an Isaiah too? Wouldn't you like to be that person who brought the good news of salvation to somebody else? Because you took the time to show somebody so they could see, to tell somebody so that they could hear, and to explain to somebody so that they could understand. We might not all be peppers, but we should all be Isaiahs. Let's go to God in prayer.